Good day. You're listening to The Front Page here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. Good morning.
Good morning, Jacob.
It's nice to see you here on the show.
Nice to be here, and we always appreciate you coming and covering our city council meetings, and it's always good to have WMKY there.
It's good to be here for my very first Front Page show. It'll be an interesting maiden voyage, as you said earlier. First of all, we had Freedom Fest not too long ago. How did that go?
Well, from all accounts, of course, nothing's perfect, but from all accounts, it started with the great weather. We had been, trust me, I had basically subscribed to every weather app that was available to my Android all week long and was balancing back and forth, and it swung as far as what it was going to do that day, and we had to make a decision. We came up on a hard and fast decision-making time on noon on Friday, and took a gamble and trusted in the good Lord above and went with it, and he rewarded us with a great day as far as weather-wise, and that was the key, because it all lines up there. The weather is the key because of, number one, you have your attendance. Number two, can you do things with kids where I don't care how engaged the child is between 4 o'clock and 9:45. If you don't have something for them to do, different activities, that's a long day for a parent to try to wait out the fireworks. So the last couple of years, the high winds have kept us from having things like the bouncy houses and those type of things. And this year, the weather was just mild enough to where we had a lot of activities, and every child's activity we had planned was able to be used and be enjoyed by the children, and relieved by the parents, I think is what it was. So that's where it starts. And if you get that, then the music we had was outstanding. Had 9 groups, 5 gospel and 4 rock and roll, bluegrass type of music. And it was just tremendous. There's an estimated, we don't know, you know, obviously there was no way to count everyone, but there was an estimate that we had upwards of 10,000 people at its high, at its peak. And that's from people pulling off and watching the fireworks and all through First and Main Street, and you know, we didn't have any injuries, didn't have any kind of disruptions. We didn't have any kind of police activity that was necessary. So it was just, we were very blessed, and we hope to make it bigger and better next year. That was our third year, and it was the best year. And it took so many people to pull that off, Jacob. So many people, and We're so glad that it came together, and like I said, we were just blessed from the beginning, and we're already thinking of things to do for next year.
What kind of differences this year made it stand out in your mind?
I think the fact that we had more activities for folks to be able to look around and find more diverse type things. For example, first time we've ever had vendors, arts and crafts vendors, and that was a big, big thank you to Asher Gillum, who is our director of the Round County Arts Center. She has her first Friday every month in the summer, every first Friday, and she invited a lot of her vendors who come to that, and they were there, and that gave people who may not like the music or may not like cars to do that. And also you had 100 cars that showed up, classic cars for a cruise in with Gravity Falls and Danny Boyd's group, and they did a tremendous job. They had hoped to get a lot more cars than that, and we had actually blocked off more space down Main Street, but you know, when you've got a relatively expensive car and there's a chance of rain above 40%, a lot of them don't bring them out. So we understand that, and we have our hats off for the folks that did. We had the bouncy houses, like I said, the water slides. We had a train from the El Hasa. Skipper Holly brought that down. That was tremendous for us. And we also had 5 gospel acts. Last couple years, the gospel group has either given their time for us or gone the second night, and we felt like it wasn't fair to them because they have kind of sacrificed for us. So Jeff Fannin, who does a great job, and his crew, we went ahead and said, look, let's just combine them. And it was good because, you know, that's what brings the community together. You have people who have different interests and maybe different likes, and
got
maybe
a little something for everybody.
Got a little something for that. That was the whole thing. And you know, we didn't, I'm sure there was some gaps in there we didn't feel, but I would say we had something for 75 to 80% of the crowd. And then the music. Some people like just coming and listening to the music. Had great acts. We had actually three acts that had been to Nashville that came up and played on the stage that's now we known as the Moonlight Stage. And we have to give credit to Tourism, who went and invested in having that upgraded, turned a little bit, so it's where it's more naturally fit. And then the fireworks are tremendous. I have to give a big shout out to Shannon Caudill, who is with R.L. Caudill Construction in Bath County. And I mix up a CD each year and give it to him. And he has a program that he's learning every year more about it. And he coordinates the fireworks to the music. And then, of course, WKCA, WIVY, Hayes McMakin, Jeff Ray, they came over and give us tremendous support. And they simulcast that. So, you know, he kind of get a big town feel for a small town area. And it just worked out where it was great. And you know, we can always improve things, but this was the best one we had. And I believe the diversity and the activities and the vendors and the food and all the different things pretty much made that time gap seem to go by pretty quickly.
And lastly, the least fun part of the whole event, cleanup. How did cleanup go?
Cleanup was always a challenge. You know, you can never have enough, usually you can never have enough restroom facilities or enough garbage cans, because it's hard to judge your crowd size. It really is. And so, you know, one of the things we're going to improve, I think we had enough restroom facilities. We had a lot of compliments on that. We had several handicapped, and then we have several people who were very thankful of that. And I give Tony Pence a lot of credit for that. Tony's our Downtown Moorhead Incorporated executive director, and he's over charge over that. Garbage cans, you know, we probably need to have a little bit more of those. And, you know, there was some miscommunication there, but let's just say that by Monday morning, everything was ship shape. And when a lot of people have chipped in to make this happen, a lot of people that I can probably not even name all their names, but the big contributors were definitely Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, the Chamber, Tourism, who gives us our largest part of our money for it, and of course our major sponsor, and that's Dan Markwell and Fazoli's, who have been our corporate sponsor the last 2 years. So a lot of hands, a lot of hours, a lot of fretting, a lot of weather watching, but it all pays off when you have an event that goes as smoothly as it went.
All right. Well, let's hope for some good weather again next year.
Amen.
And next up, there's been talks about broadband wired internet access in Moorhead and Rowan County. Where are things with that project?
We have put together a group of interested folks who have different levels of expertise. We have folks from the St. Clair Medical Center. We have folks from Moorhead Utility Plant Board. We have folks from our EDC, myself. We also have another mayor from different town in Prestonsburg, Mayor Les Stapleton. He and I, when we came into office the same time, we've gone to several of these broadband meetings. And where it is right now, if a lot of people recall the Kentucky Wired initiative that was started by the former governor, Steve Beshear, and our congressman, Hal Rogers, which also went through the SOAR organization, that has been put on delay for different various reasons, and now it's back on track. And it's supposed to, as long as there's no more prolonged delays in the process, we're supposed to have the ability to tap into that sometime this time next year. Well, that's called the middle mile. The final mile, or the last mile, is where we are, and that's where, unfortunately, will cost a lot of the municipalities a large chunk of money if we don't do it the right way. So what our job is right now is I've tasked this group to research, hear proposals, and we are going to look at potentially starting our own broadband or fiber authority, which would allow us to borrow money as a revenue bond, which would not go against our bonding capacity as a city, or say, for example, the county or the utility plant board. So we're looking at those type of scenarios, and we've heard several proposals from different folks, and we're going to have a community education night sometime. We'd like to do it in the fall, but it's going to take some time to get this done. So either late fall or early spring, we're going to have a forum and talk about this and let people know what's out there and some options and what the public knows. We may even send out a survey depending on where we reach this. So we're at the phase now that we're trying to plan ahead. So when it does come and become available, how are we going to do that? We're going to treat it, I want to treat it personally, and council does as well, as another utility. Because it's just as important anymore for economic development. It's just as important if folks want to work from their home. It's not just about being able to download your favorite Netflix season or your show of, it's quicker. It's about being able to bring us up to where we're on an even keel with some of the larger areas. Kentucky right now is in the bottom five with broadband capacity and with fiber that's out there for high-speed internet. So with this initiative, the plan is, the goal is, once this is all put through, and it will put us up there probably in the top five, actually. So we want to take advantage of it. It's not cheap, obviously, anytime you do something like that, but we feel like the investment in our future. One person actually who works for the Internet Authority told me, said, you know, the way to tell your constituents, you can ask them, if you don't think technology is going to advance beyond today, then don't do it. But if you think there's a chance that technology will advance beyond today, and we know what that answer is.
I think there might be a chance.
I think there may be a chance, and it continues to evolve at light speed. So we are in the planning stages. Again, we will start bringing the public into what's going on once we gather as much information and try to educate ourselves, so then we can turn around and educate the public.
I can tell you I would definitely appreciate some high-speed internet where I live right now.
Well, it goes back to economic development. I mean, it'd be great. We all want faster internet. We all want to be able to do this and that and all that with our personal, the things we like as far as leisure. But now think of it as an economic development tool. When Bob Helton, who's our economic development director, when people come to him and say, okay, what do you have at the industrial park? You know, they want to know, number one, available land, cost of the land, cost of electricity, the availability of it, the capacity of water, sewer. Next thing they ask is, do you have fiber? And where we're promoting ourselves, or we're trying to promote ourselves as a tech area because of the Space Science Center and some other things. Ragent is one of the early groups that's come in here because of that. But we want to keep those. And in order to do that, you're going to have to have as much capacity on broadband and fast internet and redundant as far as it never goes down and as far as it stays, you'll be able to expand it as much as you would water or sewer or electric. It's just that important anymore. So that's our main goal. And then we think the general public will obviously benefit with whatever we're able to do as a whole.
All right. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of the Front Page here on Morehead State Public Radio.
Nothing protects your health like Health Matters.
Are you saying Health Matters protects your health like nothing at all?
No, but...
Because it sounded like you said Health Matters is the same as nothing.
What about our up-to-the-moment news and commentary?
That's nothing to me. It's pointless and annoying.
Okay. Nothing is pointless and annoying like Health Matters. Ask your doctor if Health Matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to the Front Page here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. And next up, we're going to talk about the new police and fire stations. There's been word about perhaps plans for new police and fire stations. How's that going?
We have narrowed it down to one piece of property. That's our primary piece of property. Right now, there is an easement on that property that is an overhead communication easement as far as, we have to make sure we take care of that. We're working with the entities involved with that. There's a landowner entity and there's also a utility entity that's involved. And so we are negotiating with them, trying to show them our plan so that when we are able to get that easement, an exception to the easement or a variance, as it were, then we feel like we'll be able to come out and maybe make an announcement sometime, hopefully, early fall. That's our goal. Of course, when you have a lot of different moving parts, sometimes you have to rely and line them all up. But I know, Chuck, this is one of his favorite questions he's asked me since I've been on here, and I'm dying to be able to say, hey, it's going to happen. I feel confident we'll be able to make an announcement, hopefully, by the end of this calendar year. But I'm hoping that it'll be sometime in this fall that we can – let the public know where it's going to be and start releasing some some ideas of the design and maybe even a timetable on when it would be able to be occupied and up and running. So that's been a number one priority of mine since I was elected. I've always wanted to – that's something that's been needed. The prior administration agreed, and they have been working on it as well. So this is not something that is new to me. This is something that's been in the works for several years, and it's not something that's easily done, and you can't just pick out something and go do it. There's a lot of different complicated procedures that have to be – and hoops that have to be jumped through. So we're confident that'll happen. And then our next thing is to upgrade recreation, and we're doing that a little bit at a time. You're going to see the new dog park. Hopefully that'll be up and running before, no pun intended, up and running and jumping and barking by early August. You heard Tracy Williams, our chamber director, speak last night towards that. We'll have an upgraded playground coming up hopefully before that, before the fall. So we are doing things on a smaller scale, and we're hoping to come out and do something a little bit larger again, maybe some announcements hopefully this fall at the latest, early spring. But we're at the point now where we've done a good job. The previous administration set us up well, and we have stayed within that, and we've done a very, very good job of being good stewards of the taxpayers' money, and it's enabled us now to be at one of our highest bonding capacity that we've been in several years, which means it allows us to borrow what we would need to do a fire and a police station, what we need to do to upgrade recreation and a new fire truck and those type of things. So those are we feel like we're in a good shape, and we have a lot of folks that work very hard to do that. So, you know, here's the thing. People keep forgetting, and I always remind folks of this. We're the only state university that is protected 100% by a volunteer fire department. And we're one of the only regional hospitals of our size that is protected by a volunteer fire department. So I give my hats off to the men and women of our fire department and our police department and other first responders. They do so much with less. They're both in subpar buildings. One of them is even an old car wash is our fire station one. So I feel like if we expect as taxpayers, we should expect first class service and emergency services. Well, if that's the case, then we have to give our men and women who are the emergency personnel first class equipment, first class facilities, and first class training. If we expect that, then we have to do that, and that's where it starts with. So that's our goal, and we have a council that's been very, very appreciative of the fact that that's where we're going, and they all want that. So our fire station two has been upgraded to include bunks, and we're looking at possibly doing a live-in program out there where you can get college credit and also be able to increase our response time as they say from tone to truck, how quickly we can get people on. So there's a lot of things they're doing that people don't see, but that ought to be our first priority, and will always be my first priority, will be safety, and council fortunately is right there behind me and backing me up on that. So it will be exciting when I can come on here and make that announcement for sure. And it's killing me that I can't. So I told Chuck, I promise I'll bring balloons and a couple of, a couple of horns, and we'll blow them for him, because he's a typical citizen who wants to know. I mean, he's lived here long enough, and they know what we do and how well we do it with what we have. Just imagine how much better we can do it when we upgrade those type of things.
Right. And related to safety, there were some concerns voiced at the last city council meeting, and there have been a few ordinances either proposed or passed just concerning parking, traffic on certain congested streets in the city, and how maybe fire trucks can't turn through because there's so many cars.
That's a great segue, Jacob, and you're exactly right. We have a couple of streets, and people know this. This is not a secret. You know, we have streets that were traditional single-family homes, and through folks that have passed on or moved away or both, a lot of these homes in these streets, and we're talking about Wilson, and we're talking about Lyons, we're talking about Bays, and we're talking about Knapp Avenue, and even Allen. A lot of these the streets that all line up and go parallel of each other, you have a lot of homes now that have been purchased are turned into rental homes for college students or other folks. And you're a traditional home back then, you might have two cars, and there was adequate parking off the street for two cars. Now, when you rent a two-bedroom house out and five people stay in it for whatever reason or visit or whatever, you may have five cars that are taking up, you know, space that's only allotted for two. And so what happens is we have situations where you have congested parking, and it makes it very difficult for regular people who live there, just making a regular trek to the grocery store or whatever. But then, in the event of an emergency service vehicle, especially a fire truck, they cannot get up through there at certain times, and our buses with our kids. So we are looking at ways to make that, at least from our end, make it so that you won't have that congestion. And there was steps taken, and there will be a further step taken about making some of those streets no parking on either side. So we feel like that's a safety's paramount. There was a fellow who came who lived on one of those streets and gave a very good presentation last night and a plea to council. He had several folks there backing him up, and that's what you do. I mean, if you want change, come to council meetings, talk to city council, talk to your representative, talk to me, and we'll try to make sure you have a voice. So, yes, that's something that has been bantered about for several years. There was one at one time you couldn't park in your yard, and that made it to the second reading and failed. There's been this particular issue has been raised before I was in. It was in the last administration, and it failed for a second reading. So at this point, I feel like there's a good chance that it will pass. We had the first reading at our meeting last night. So we encourage people to come out to meetings. It's the second Monday of every month. It's over at City Hall unless we announce a different location. And, you know who your city council people are. Talk to them if you see them. Email me, mayor@morehead-ky.gov, mayor@morehead-ky.gov, and I will pass along your concerns to council, and I will take them very seriously as well. You can always call us at 784-8505, and we'll do that. So safety will always be our number one concern, and actually it's our number one through five concerns.
Right.
Because of, we live in a small town that is a growing population, and we want to be good neighbors with our university. We want to have good housing for our students. I mean, that's a recruiting thing for us. We want to have good housing for people who are coming in working at the hospital or school system or wherever. But at the same time, there has to be a balance between the folks that are there to get their use and enjoyment of their property when they've been there for 40 and 50 years.
Right.
And everyone, there's a balance there. You know, some people have to give a little bit. Some people have to take a little bit. So it's our goal to always consider all sides and try to make the best decision we can at the time with the information we're provided. And a lot of times that information comes from not only our law enforcement, our fire departments, our school system about their troubles or what they want to do with traffic, but also comes from our homeowners, because all of these folks are taxpayers, and we're there to listen to the taxpayers and try to make the best decision for the whole. And you're not going to get everybody to agree with it, but that is the challenge every day. And we feel like we have an open city where you can come in and feel welcome to come in and voice your opinion. So we ask people to not sit back and complain, but come in and see what you can do for change or to prevent the change you don't want.
All right. And that is going to wrap up this edition of The Front Page here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jacob Lindberg. I've been talking here with Morehead Mayor Jim Tomtrin. It's been good to talk to you this morning.
Been good to you. And Jacob, you were smooth as silk and like an old pro. So congratulations on your maiden voyage, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.